Welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we didn't have a Bears recap this week because I'm currently getting over COVID, which is why I sound like this. But we're back and we're ready to talk about the playoffs because the Packers don't get a break, so neither do we. And we have postseason football to talk about, which is incredibly exciting. But Perry, yeah, I can't believe that the regular season has ended. And I also can't believe still that the Bears won on Sunday, but that's neither here nor there at this point. So
we don't want to and not talk about this game, that game. Yeah, we're in the postseason. It's clean slate time. Everyone is 0-0, which I just love thinking about because the postseason is like, yes, obviously everyone has been building in the regular season. This is why we have seeding, but like anything can happen. Anything can happen. Your record doesn't matter. What you did last week does not matter. Packers, I hope you're listening. And we could have some wild, crazy upsets. We are obviously hoping that our team is one of them. So we're going to dive into how the Packers can beat the Eagles. But yeah, the postseason is here. The season always takes, it just flies by.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you and I talked about this a little bit pre-show. It's the Packers are in like the exact same situation as last year, right? Mm-hmm. Aaron Nagler had tweeted this. It was in the dope sheet. But this Packers team going into the playoffs is the second youngest playoff team by weighted age in the last 45 seasons. The youngest obviously being last season's Packers team. So it's another really, really young Packers team. And they're going to face a number two seed on the road. Of course, they're in the NFC East, obviously. But I forgot that it was a Dallas team that was averaging like they were the top scoring league in the NFL. They were putting up almost 30 points a game. They had a top five defense, allowing only 18.5 points per game. And none of that mattered. The Packers hung 48 on them and then, you know, almost won in the divisional round as this complete underdog. So I think for all of the narratives about how this is a bad matchup for the Packers defense and, you know, I see all of the reasons why it is. I also think the Packers can do it. And maybe I'm just like way too optimistic about this Packers team, but I would rather be optimistic in the postseason than pessimistic and upset. And there goes your one game, you know, like I'd rather enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. The Cowboys hadn't lost at home all season, if I remember correctly, until the Packers came. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little less optimistic than you, but I think it's just emotional hedging. I do think that there is a pathway for this Packers team to win this game, for sure. They are going to have to play their best football of the season. They almost beat this team in week one. So we've seen that they, you know, have the capacity to do it. Granted, they will be missing two key starters, which we'll talk about. I do think the difference, there's two, I think, key differences between this year and last year, besides the fact that like every team and every season is different, which is one, I feel like the Packers had that big statement win in Minnesota going into the postseason. And I just don't know if I saw this team have that big statement win this season, or at least recently. So that's the one thing that I have on my mind. Granted, they played all of the top team or the two other top teams very closely. So we know, you know, they were basically like one non-existent offsides penalty away from beating the Vikings, right? They have the capacity, but they didn't have that statement win. The other piece is like, there were no expectations last season, and the ability to play with no expectations is a lot more freeing than I think going into this season where they showed what they can do, but now everyone expects them to repeat it. And that's much harder to do. So my hope, and tell me how you feel about this, but my hope is that going into this game, because they are the underdog, because no one expects them to win this game, that it does allow them to play with that mentality, with that underdog juice, you know, with that nobody believes in us chip on their shoulder, which is, I think, the way that this team plays its best.
And I think what's so interesting about this team, even compared to week one, like week one, we didn't know who they were, what they could be. Yes, they had new pieces, but they were really an anomaly. We were trying to figure out, you know, what the team was going to look like. And like you said, it was a 5-point game. And it was their second biggest loss of the season, which I know, to your point, they haven't had a statement win, but their worst loss, I think, you know, was the Lambeau game against the Lions, because that was a 10-point loss. But then you have a 5-point loss, 2 2-point losses, and a loss by a field goal. So looking at, you know, kind of like where we expect them to be performing, they're right there. And I think that's what's been so frustrating about this season, is them not having the statement, because every game has been so close to being a statement. Like if the ball bounces a different way, or if there's not a fumble, and the self-inflicted nature is why it's hard to feel entirely confident about this team going into the postseason. But it's also why, you know, we should have some room for optimism and thinking that, like, they're not really playing their best ball. And what a time to start playing their best ball in the postseason, right? But yeah, I mean, I think like going into this one, the roster is just so different even than it was in week one. We didn't know what we had in Josh Jacobs, and now he's on an 8-game streak, a franchise record with touchdowns. Xavier McKinney obviously has his 8 picks on the season. The Packers have 3 safeties that they really feel strongly about, and all 3 of them might play. Obviously, mm-hmm. without Jair back there, we're going to see if Evan Williams can go, but there's just so much room for, I guess, reasons to be optimistic about the way that this team is structured versus the defense that was trotted out last season. I mean, I forgot, honestly, that Darnell Savage had a pick 6 against the Cowboys. Like, it feels like another world when you look at where this team is at and the way that this roster is constructed versus the Aaron Jones-led backfield of the Packers mm-hmm. that went to Dallas last year.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's start with the defense then, maybe, since you started with it. I agree. The defense that they have this season is for sure a stronger unit than last season going into postseason. So that's like, you know, if you're looking in the optimism column versus the pessimism column, like, this is one for the optimism column. I think the defense has been playing really well. Some really, really strong showings. Now, naturally, you can pick at, you know, the final drives or not making the play, you know, when they need to in the last moment. But holistically, this defense has been doing enough for their offenses to take the game. If Evan Williams plays, I actually feel a hell of a lot stronger about that side of the ball, oddly enough, just because then you keep everyone in their natural positions than having to move guys around. I do feel like, and we'll touch on like what they need to do to stop the Eagles, but I do feel like this team might need a really big, like, big game changing play to win this game. I don't know if they can go in, just play like base defense versus, you know, base offense, the Eagles, do not generate any turnovers and win this game against the Eagles. They're going to have to lean on their playmakers like Xavier McKinney, like Keyshawn Nixon, who's been playing super well, like the guys up front to do something.
And I think that is what made the game in Brazil so frustrating, is that the Packers had 3 turnovers and they still lost by 5, right? Like, there were just so many moments where, again, the game felt like it got away from them. Saquon had 3 touchdowns in his introduction to Eagles fans, right? 2 rushing touchdowns and the receiving touchdown, where I think it was Isaiah McDuffie on a wheel route, and we were like, well, that's bad. Like, don't do that again. But now we've got like the emergence of Edgerrin Cooper, which is really exciting. And to your point, yeah, I think if Evan Williams can play, it makes a ton of difference, because I'd say this in the least disrespectful way possible, then Eric Stokes isn't playing, right? Because you can move Keyshawn Nixon to the boundary, and then you can move Carrington Valentine to the other boundary. You've got Javon Bullard in the slot, where he's played the most snaps this season. It was really mm-hmm. fun. Oladapo gets some looks. You know, I don't know if you want him out there against the Eagles, obviously, if that was like his first game action, but he played really well in some limited looks. So the Packers have the youngest team. but some really big playmakers that have come into their own as the season progressed that are difference makers for this team down the stretch. But by that same token, so do the Eagles, right? They have Cooper DeJean playing some incredible football. Quinyon Mitchell is playing really good football. The secondary we'll talk about of the Eagles, obviously, because that is just a ridiculous strength of that team. But yeah, I mean, like, I to your point about how to attack these or what these defenses can do, Aaron Schatz had mentioned, he was the creator of DVOA, that the Eagles-Packers game has the first and second best defenses against deep passes. The Eagles are first, and the Packers are the second best defense against the deep shot. Now, the Packers are certainly much more vulnerable against like shorter passes in the middle of the field and all that, but as far as deep shots, don't expect to see a ton from either of these secondaries, which is weird because in week one, I think Jalen Hurts had like a 67-yarder and Jaden Reed had the 70-yarder. So there were a ton of deep shots in week one, and wouldn't expect to see that this week.
Yeah. I mean, such different teams from week one. It's an interesting comparison because like week one is always like a little fluky. And then you add in the fact that they played in Brazil and this was a brand new defense that had never played together. And now they have a whole season under their belt going back against this Eagles team. I mean, same with this Eagles offense. It's a really interesting stat about the deep ball. I feel like considering the horses that they have on offense with their wide receiver tandem and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and then Saquon Barkley, you feel like the Eagles can do anything against you. And they will if you let them, which is why I feel like protecting the boundary but being really stout in the run game is going to be key. The Packers aren't the best run defense in the league, but they're up there in terms of A, what we've seen in past Packers defenses, and B, like in the league. I think last time I looked, they were eighth, somewhere in like the 10 range in terms of run defense. You can correct me if you have the stats in front of you. But so yes, you're going up against one of the more prolific runners. I think he's number one right now in front of Derrick Henry and then Josh Jacobs. Saquon's the test. And you mentioned the wheel route. He's, you know, someone they use in the pass game as well. But I think the Packers have done a really good job of defending against running backs and trying their best to make opposing offenses a little bit more one-dimensional. Now, their one dimension is, again, passing to a pretty elite duo, but at least in that realm, you can stop one of their major abilities to like gash you and hold possession of the ball, right? If they can run the ball effectively, like they're taking up time, and that's the last thing you want if you're behind.
Yeah, I mean, I think it feels like a cliche to say that this game comes down to the trenches, but I feel like it really does, right? Yeah. It's not just Saquon Barkley. It is the Eagles offensive line, which is incredible. Jordan Mailata is PFF's first graded tackle out of 81 tackles. He's got a 95.8 overall grade. Like, he's just playing some incredible football. Lane Johnson is seventh. Landon Dickerson is ninth out of 77. Mekhi Becton is 16th out of 77. Like, it's a very stout offensive line. Cam Jurgens, I think, just made the Pro Bowl, right? He replaced Jason Kelsey, and then his first year at center, he just gets to also go to the Pro Bowl. So it's there's no drop off, and that's what makes Saquon and Jalen Hurts so dangerous, is they're, if they're not able to get pressure. But then on the flip side of that, it's the same goes for the Packers offense. This is a really, really good front seven for the Eagles. They have the best inside linebacker statistically right now in football. They've got a really stout front, and Josh Jacobs has been playing really, really well, and he's kind of the spark plug of the offense, especially without Christian Watson, which we can get into. So as the trenches go, I think this game goes, and whoever can find success first probably wins this one.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate because, like, obviously the glaring weak point of this Packers team is their pass rush. So I'm not expecting them all of a sudden to like come alive, but I do think there's something to be said for Jeff Hafley having to cook up some unique pressure fronts and blitzes, because you're going to have to throw, to your point, this offensive line off their game, and you're going to have to do something to knock Jalen Hurts off. I mean, he's a very hard quarterback to take down already. You mentioned it before we recorded, but they They sacked him three times in game one. So it's not impossible, but it's difficult. He's also a very mobile quarterback. So you're going to need to be really stout in your like gap integrity and your edge integrity. But I do think, I mean, you make a fantastic point, which is everything domino effects from this Packers front ability to just impact the line of scrimmage. And if they can't, it's going to, again, be a really long day for this secondary, who in this matchup is missing Jair.
Yeah. So let's shift it then and talk about this Packers offense and what they can do to slow down this really, really solid Eagles defense. By PFF metrics, it is the number one defense in football right now, and rightfully so. They're second in points against, allowing only 17.8 points per game. They've only given up more than 20 points five times this season, and three times that was in the first four games of the year. Like, they've just played really, really stout football. Really interesting stat. I don't know if you had seen this, but none of their corners have a pick this year. Their safeties really? Have 10 combined. Yeah, CJ Gardner-Johnson has 6, and then Reed Blankenship has 4. Obviously had the one against Love week one, but none of their corners have a pick because it's a no-fly zone. You don't want to throw anywhere near them. So they have like a combined 25 passes defensed, but no pick for any of the corners this year, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Look, I think the Packers were able to move the ball. It was a little too late, but they were able to move the ball against the Vikings defense. And if you're thinking about top defenses in the league that they've seen recently, I mean, that's the one that comes to mind, right? They're 2-3 behind the Eagles in pretty much every other metric. So it does give me hope that maybe they learn something. And I'm not saying they run the same defenses. I don't think that they do. I mean, Brian Flores is a madman. But I think in terms of feeling confident that the Packers will have answers for some of the things that the Eagles throw at them, they at least have that game under their belt. They can take learnings. They can look at the tape. They can say, okay, here's our answers for if they throw this blitz at us, right? The one thing that I'm looking at that I just cannot get off my mind is the Packers wide receivers have really struggled against man coverage. And while they are excellent separators, Jaden Reed and Dontayvion Wicks are both top separators in the league. They're not always catching those balls. And you don't love having to throw in super tight windows against these Eagles, cornerbacks. So these wide receivers are going to have to step up. Like, this is going to be a hands game. I think this is going to be a big Romeo Doubs game for that reason. But you must make their days easier, Matt LaFleur, by finding ways to scheme them open and give them that window of separation.
Yeah, it's got to be a big hands day and a big yak day. And like, the mental mistakes are going to kill this team before the Eagles do. Yeah. You know, it's a frustrating way for the season to have ended against the Bears, knowing that there were so many mental mistakes. And Matt LaFleur had said, like, bad clock management. Like, the narrative from the entire game was they need to clean up all of the things that went wrong against the Vikings. And then more went wrong against the Bears. So, you know, now you're talking about being further behind the eight ball and having more to clean up and more to focus on. And I hope that doesn't make things too foggy for them. You know, mm-hmm. like, I hope they can go in and simplify, and because we've seen them go up against the cream of the crop in the NFC, and they've gotten really close. And obviously close doesn't count in the postseason. It doesn't matter if you lose by one, you go home. Yeah. But I think there is something to be said about them knowing what needs to come from this. And, you know, you mentioned it. I think it's a big day for Romeo Doubs. He had 151 yards last year against the Cowboys. Jaden Reed had a really, really big game against the Eagles in week one. And I don't know if you want to account any of this mileage to the field in Brazil, but he had, you know, the one receiving touchdown, the one rushing touchdown, 131 yards, I think it was, like, just a huge day from him. And the Packers are going to have to get creative because they just don't have Christian Watson to be able to take the top off of defenses, which is something that we talked about with Mina and we've talked about on the show a ton, is how these wide receivers are so complementary. And unfortunately, as much as you might have some redundant skill sets, there isn't a redundant Christian Watson hanging out anywhere on the roster the same way there might be a redundant Dobbs or potentially even Reed.
Yeah, I echo everything you said. Filling in what Christian Watson is able to do is going to be a really big challenge for Matt LaFleur and this offense. I'd like to see this be a big Tucker Kraft game as well. I think having him attack the middle of the field could be really key. I find him incredibly reliable as well. So if you get a nice mismatch, you know, your wide receivers on the outside are getting mugged up, but the middle of field is there for Kraft. And he's able, as we've seen, to get tons of yards after the catch. Like, I think that could be a really nice weak point to exploit. You said it. I mean, they have incredible linebackers. They're good at every level. So you're going to have to try something. What do you think about leaning on the run game in this game? I know we mentioned briefly before about how good this front is, but where are you? I mean, that's, to me, that's like, that's this offense's strength. And I think regardless of who they're going up against, you have to lean on your strengths. So where are you with how the Josh Jacobs utilization?
I mean, I think you have to. I think when this Packers team runs into trouble, it's, you know, the run game stalls out. There's an unfortunate fumble. And then on your next position, you take three deep shots and you go three and out, and then you give the ball right back to the offense. Like, if the Packers give the ball back to the Eagles after going three and out, the Eagles are going to put up seven. Yeah. And you can't afford to get behind in this game. So I think the Packers, even if they start down a score or two, you have to lean into the run all the way into the fourth quarter, all the way until the clock stops. Because once they start trying to play shootout ball, that's when the secondary for the Eagles is going to be able to capitalize. And that's when they're going to make turnovers and, you know, make mistakes, because Jordan Love, you know, we've seen him be Superman and he can be that, but especially, you know, if there's any concerns about his elbow, I know they said that he's limited and he would have been able to play on Sunday, but any issues with the throwing arm that already maybe don't make you feel the most confident about your accuracy. And then, like you said, you're throwing into double or triple coverage against these corners in Philly. They have to lean on Josh Jacobs, and he has to have really reliable hands. And the entire running back group, right? Obviously, Wilson and Brooks in there as well. But I think that's the weakness of this offense, is if they get away from the run game, because that's when things will start to stack up against their wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm right there with you. I think you obviously think about your opponent and you game plan against your opponent, but I think what Matt LaFleur has shown us this season has been such an incredible imaginative ability to like cook up some run fits for this team, things that work for this offensive line, things that Josh Jacobs does well. I mean, it seems like he does everything well, but he has this uncanny ability to create when there is nothing there. Very similar to Aaron Jones. Just like, you think that there he's going to get tackled at the line of scrimmage and all of a sudden he gets four. And that's the difference between what your next call is versus a second and 10, right? So I'm with you. You said it already. He's the linchpin. He is like the guy in which that this whole offense like stems from. So as soon as you get away from him, you start to get into pretty dangerous territory.
All right. So I think that brings us to our score predictions and our final thoughts here. Obviously, I thought this was interesting here before we do scores. Despite the like very rich history of both of these franchises, this is only the fourth time that they've played in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, For as many times as both of them have been around the postseason, the Eagles are 2-1. The first loss was Vince Lombardi's only postseason loss. And that's, you know, then he went on to win all of his Super Bowls and all of his championships. And then the last time the Packers won, obviously, they won Super Bowl 45. So a good year. But haven't played in the postseason since 2010, which is just kind of absurd. But yeah.
That was interesting. That is interesting. It's going to be an awesome game. I don't know if you read, but there was, I think it was the New York Times did like a ranking of best games wild card weekend, and every single person voted for this game. I'm surprised it's not the primetime game, to be honest. This is unequivocally the best matchup. As far as score prediction, I do think this is going to be a pretty defense heavy game. I don't see this being high scoring. Last time I checked, the line was Packers -4.5, which I think fits. It was actually like right around where I expected it. They're not necessarily just a field goal away, but so I want to think that the Packers can pull this one out. I do. I really do. I'm not feeling terribly optimistic. But I also don't want everyone to come back when they win and be like, see, you didn't believe in them. But I see this being like a 27-21, 28-24, that range in either direction.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time seeing it as a two-score win for the Packers. I could unfortunately see a world where there's a two-score loss for the Packers, like 10, right, you know, like 31-21 kind of thing. But I keep going back to what, like you said, 28-24 feels right. And I think part of it is going to come down to the red zone and capitalizing on if they go for it or if they settle for field goals. Because this is a really, really good Eagles defense in all facets, but in the red zone as well. I think they're like fifth in the league or something like that, giving up touchdowns only 50% of the time. So does Matt take the points in those situations because they're a sure three, or does he gamble and roll the dice on a 50-50 shot to go up 7? And I think that's going to be kind of a deciding factor. But I'm going to take the Packers because I can't start the postseason any other way, but I'm going to say 28-24 Packers.
Okay. I'm going with 28-24 Packers. I have to do it. You're right. This is the one game we might get and go big, go home.
Right. And if we voted the other way and got it wrong, then that just sucks, right? Like that's how the season ends, is us being like, well, we thought they were going to lose anyway.
No, we don't. That's not how we roll here at PAX, what she said. Final thoughts?
Just enjoy it. It could be the very last one of the season, which it always feels like it comes so fast. But I think given what happened last season in Dallas with a worse football team, you know, maybe you feel like the Eagles are a better team than that Dallas team was on the flip side of that. But I think this is a better Packers team than we saw last season. And if there was ever a moment for your, you know, idea to come true that they haven't had a statement win, maybe it's time for their statement win to come in the wild card round. And yeah. Matt LaFleur said after Detroit, like, we have to play for the right to come back here. So what better way to get back to Detroit than to go on like an exercising of your demons run and beat all the teams that beat you in the regular season by a score?
Yeah, they got to do it. All right. I love that. I don't think I have anything to add. Exercise those demons, Packers.
And hopefully it's a really good game. And hopefully that we'll be back here on Monday to talk about it. Monday or Tuesday, we'll see. We'll see what the rest of the playoff picture looks like here, obviously. Some really good games this weekend. Quick, who do you got between the Bucks and the Commanders and the Rams and the Vikings?
Oh, I'm so team Commanders all the way. Super, super loving the way Jaden Daniels is playing. Rams-Vikings is an interesting one.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be really good. As much as I would love the Rams to knock the Vikings off, I do think the Vikings are a better team. But if Matthew Stafford plays a clean game and doesn't turn the ball over, it is like very in the realm of possibilities that the Rams win.
I mean, they beat them in the regular season. So do it again, Rams. Do us a solid. But yeah, we'll see. I think I'm going to take the Bucks. Just because they're riding the high of the Mike Evans 1,000-yard season, and we love Mike Evans. I don't know a single person that doesn't like Mike Evans, honestly. He's, I think, like one of the most likable players in the NFL, but really good football. I always hate division games in the wild card round, like Steelers-Ravens, just eh. But otherwise, should be a really fun weekend of football. Enjoy it. Obviously, we don't know how many games we're going to have left. We know how many games. We just don't know what the teams are going to be. And hopefully the Packers stay in it. But thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find us on Twitter, on Blue Sky, at PWSS Podcast, at PAX What She Said, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. And we'll be back to talk about it, win, lose, or win or lose. There's no draws in the postseason, but we'll be here. Enjoy the game and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.